Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food Podcast. I am your host, Chef Jeff Fell, and we are on site at the Culinary Equipment Group. And I've got a bit of a celebrity on my hands here, and I'm a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. I have got Chef Joe Arvin, and let me just go over some of this. Two-time Culinary Federation gold medalist, three-time Chicago Fight Club champ, TV and internet personality. He's been on The Taste, Cutthroat Kitchen, host of Mad Love, South of Mad Love, and you were on Big Brother, which we're going to get back to.
Everybody brings up that.
And
out of everything.
I know. And Ovention's corporate executive chef. So, Chef Joe, thanks for taking the time to, one, drive up here, be on the show, because, you know, that's a hype just to do a podcast.
Well, let me say, you just made this little redneck country boy hillbilly sound like I'm somebody. I've spent my entire life in culinary. It is, some people go to work, some people have jobs, and you always hear, you know, you're never going to work a day in the life. Well, seriously, I don't think I've ever spent a bad day in the kitchen. And as I've grown in this business and grown in the world, and as I've gotten older myself, it's sharing. I mean, all about cooking, everything that we do is about sharing and sharing love. The reason why I cooked, the reason why I became a chef is so I had a kind of a rough childhood growing up.
Okay.
All right. So I think Anthony Bourdain talks about misfits, right? We're all misfits in the back of the kitchen. Well, I was a misfit. All right. So growing up, but I used to watch my mother.
Okay.
And this is where I got the love for cooking. My mother would cook Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, all the holidays. And she was one Southern cook with cast iron skillet, you know, smoking in the kitchen, the bacon grease going into just about everything. You know, the green beans been cooked to death. But here it was. Every time that my mother would walk into the kitchen and walk into the living room and she had a platter, I don't care what bad day, good day you've had, you look and I saw people smile. And that's when I knew I wanted to be a part of that right there. I wanted to be a part of my career to be able to make people happy. And this has done it all my life.
Yeah. And food, it brings people together. It doesn't matter where you are, anywhere, absolutely, all over the world.
Food brings people together.
And I love that. And you said you're from the South, you know, Lexington?
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Is it Lexington?
Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah. Home of the Wildcats, bourbon and horses and wild women. Oh, I can say it. That's it?
Yeah, I did. If you can tell, Joe likes to say what's on his mind, for sure. You know, maybe let's go over, we got a lot going on here.
Yes.
We've had a lot of prep today, getting stuff ready. So maybe let's go over just kind of what we're going to show, what we've got out already, and then we're going to be firing off some stuff as well. So maybe
Explain that. So we're going to talk Ovention. As you stated, I'm the corporate chef for Ovention. And a lot of times people don't get what a corporate chef is. Mm-hmm. I've been a corporate chef for about 20 years now almost, and I don't think my kids still know what the heck I do.
It's fair.
I call them, Dad, what do you do? I'm like, oh, well, there's about 18 million things I do. But at the gist of it, at the heart of it, it's helping a customer. It's finding the pain points in a kitchen. I do time and motion studies, kitchen optimization. So what we're able to do is we're selling equipment, but we're selling equipment that fits. I've always said, I'm not going to go in and show somebody something that they don't need or if I can't make their life better.
Yeah.
I'm there to change that for the better. And man, does that makes you feel good when you leave and you know that you took some stress off some 80-hour week chef, you know, in his kitchen. And in the industry, we all know, coming out of COVID, everybody went automation. Can automation be in QSR? Can automation run a kitchen? We're still seeing. We'll see stuff that came. We're going to see stuff that goes. We're going to find out in the next 5 years what sticks. But Ovention, we're into the area that I can cook day parts. Breakfast, lunch, mm-hmm, and dinner in one single oven. We're doing a speed cook oven that you're kind of blocking right now. But a speed cook oven has a very distinct place in the business. It is everywhere where we kind of were re-therming, you know, we're bringing it back, we're heating it up, we're putting pastries and sandwiches and par-baked pizzas. But it's a very, very fast cook. It uses a little bit of microwave to speed up the heat. So you got the heat in the air, it uses the microwave, and you can adjust that where you would like it and how much microwave.
Right.
And so it's set that way.
And people don't know that microwave is to help that inside, right? Because you have the outside air cooking. People don't understand that microwave is to help even that out in that center to get that speed, because otherwise you're waiting for that heat to penetrate into the food.
Yeah, you have such a high intensity of heat. You have to get something internal,
right,
or you're going to burn the whole outside before the inside gets warm. And yes, so exactly.
And what kind of food operations would that really tailor to? You know, it comes to my mind, the big guys, Starbucks, et cetera.
Yes, Starbucks. You got Dunkin' Donuts uses them. All your airports use it. Kiosk around the Auntie Anne. I know you got a lot of these QSRs out there that, and coffee shops that, man, they need it in a minute. Yeah. And it's nothing ever is going to stop that, where they can cook for 5 minutes. So that they're concentrating on the coffee, not the food as much, but now they're able to serve a good sandwich quick.
Right. And then we're going to be using this guy today for most of our cooking. So what is this piece? You know, and I think it leads into the conversation of, you know, I think we both are on the same page. Kitchens are going electric. And that's kind of the way. Hoodless, you know, ventless equipment. Yes, up front, costs might be a little bit more, but people aren't thinking about how much does it take to put on a hood or have a hood. What's the cleaning and the maintenance of that? They don't think it's those hidden costs. It's almost like a labor. No one, they know it's there and it's a big red or big elephant in the room, but they don't address it. And we're going to talk about that recipe development. When you're building in a recipe, they don't put labor into it.
Yeah.
And they just think it's just, oh, well, they're there. So it's part of the equation and it's a big one, but I'm not going to worry about it with food.
Yeah. It's the way of the world. We all know it. So hoodless, ventless, eventually that's all we do. Nothing. Hoodless, ventless equipment, all electric, so we're not worried about gas. But what we're also doing, guys, is the labor force is tough, and we're having to pay more money. We're losing margins in our food. And I talk to chefs out there, man, it's painful to understand that margins are already tight in the restaurant business, man. I always say pick up your pennies, because if you ain't picking up your pennies, you ain't making no money. Yeah. And now, because of labor, you're already going into the world backwards. I mean, you're fighting to make money. So I think in the equipment industry and the manufacturers, we're trying to make things that take less hands work, less motions, less people in the kitchen at one time. And we're looking at, and this is what I think Ovention is one of the, this is why I love this so much. And it's one of the most important things in the restaurant business. It's why when I had my second restaurant, I realized I should have only had one restaurant, because the people on the other side ain't cooking the way I'm cooking on this side. Well, that's the key part, and that's what we're going to show you. Guys, in one oven, this oven today cooked everything you see in front of you.
Yep.
We have two different styles of pizza. Why? Because he likes his dark, and sometimes you like them light. The funniest thing is, man, you can be in New York, you can be in Chicago, you can be in Detroit. Everybody wants a different. They want a different color. Yep. They want a different shade. They want a different cheese. I love the cup pepperoni. But the cool part, you take that. You take the shishito peppers, blistered. We got a breakfast sandwich. We got eggs from the egg pan that goes in here. We're talking 1 minute, guys, in here. We're also going to do some breakfast skillets for you. Oh, yeah. Chef, it's your time.
So
buy me a breakfast skillet.
So we've got another
Come
one.
Oh man, got a herb. Right,
yes,
so we've got Chef Ron with us too behind the scenes. He was helping prep
right
today.
Here, baby.
So he's gonna help fire off some skillets.
So this is where we're gonna tie this in. Consistency. This is what I want you to know about these three ovens, and this is what I need you to really let sink in. I can cook 100 pizzas. And they're all going to look identical. If I come back in the morning and I want a speed rack and I want to prep 50 pizzas ready to go for lunch, if I know that's my part, I can get them set and prep. What I do as a chef as well, as a corporate chef for Ovention, if you're cooking your pizzas and say you're looking to go from a deck oven to an impingement or a conveyor or a shuttle, what I'm able to do is I will literally say, let me see some pictures of your pizzas. Mm-hmm. Let me come over. I'm going to eat four or five of them. So I want to know the bottom. I want to know what you want that to look like. So what I'm doing now is I'm trying to figure out caramelization, cheese melts, cups, pepperoni, the oils are coming out.
Yeah.
But when I get a look at theirs, what I'm going to do then is I come back to this, and it is the, it's, I can dial this in to where you, it's just, it's something that I find amazing, and here's why. Because we said here, I can put unlimited recipes in here, and I'm developing a recipe of the product you sent me that you're cooking. So that you know, if you're cooking something for 20 minutes, I'm going to figure out here by airflow. People ask me how. It's airflow.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming into this impingement, an hour sways just a little bit.
Yeah.
You saw
that earlier. I was like, why? It's moving back and forth. I go, why is it doing that?
We don't want any one spot of caramelization, or I call it burnt cheese, or what. We're trying to make sure that it's swaying. But once I set that recipe, I set the recipe for the eggs, I set the recipe for the shishito peppers, I set it for the breakfast sandwiches that we are doing and we're able to do. But guess what? When I set it, it's locked in. I can take it out, I can lock out all employees so no one can touch that. The greatest thing about that is if Bobby, Joe, Tony, Tinky, Jose, whoever is working, I can literally, the new guy.
Yeah.
Right? The new guy. Hey! F&G, get over here.
Right.
Cook me a pizza. Right? How'd I do that, chef? Hit pizza.
Right.
Pull it off the speed rack, put it in. It's going to look just like the chef made it. And guys, that's the world we're living in.
Yeah. And on the food side, you know, a lot of these places, especially in the QSR world, they're getting a lot of that stuff ready to go. Right? It's not like they're in the back doing all this heavy prep work. A lot of it's the food companies have come so far and they don't have the time. That's pretty cool. You know, door closed, open, in it goes. And there you go. So it's doing that rotation. But that QSR, the food, so they can just throw the food in. Literally, they can have a baseline recipe, throw that stuff in, go right over, push a button, and boom, it's done. They're not worried about, oh my gosh, I'm going to burn it. It's not.
Absolutely.
What happens when a customer comes and they're playing cashier and cook for the day, right? It's the same thing. They're not worried about that product getting burnt.
You're dead on. I mean, you're dead on. And that's where the trends in our business in QSR, fast casual, fine dining, we're not going to escape the labor issue. We're just not. We're not going to escape it. It's never going to go away. So we have to address it. And manufacturers are addressing it by trying to make our lives pain-free painless as it can be. And so the chef can actually go home. And that's what I love about it. If I go home, I know that on my menu, whoever orders something, they can touch the button and cook it the way that I set the recipe for. So those are intangibles in the oven. And then over here, you've got this other, which is, I love the categories and the levels. So here we've got convection for a half sheet pan, but it's in Fahrenheit as well. So instead of microwave, what we've done is take that out. And what I say is now we're cooking even better here, not as fast, but faster than a convection.
Today, bacon, right? 5 minutes.
Crispy.
It's
crispy bacon, five minutes. Now, if you put that in a regular convection oven, 12 minutes, somewhere in there for bacon, depending on the thickness.
Yep.
5 minutes, guys. Yep. 5 minutes, and it looked beautiful. And those are the things, again, I touched bacon. We'd already programmed bacon in there, so we knew it was 5 minutes, and 5 minutes was all as it was going. So we're going to, take a look at this. So let's go ahead and talk about pizza in general. Where are we having the most pizza? Where are we? So a new segment now that everybody's not really thought about is C-stores. Yes, gas stations. I'm talking the big boys out there, the Buc-ee's, the Casey's. These guys are serving fine food. They're serving smoked brisket, pulled pork. I mean, you can go into Buc-ee's and get one of the best brisket sandwiches you ever had. And you can go now into Casey's, man. Their pizza.
I love Casey's pizza. Their breakfast pizza.
I would go out of their way to get a pizza at a gas station. Guess what? This technology right here. That's why you can stop in. You can get your gas. And if it's 5-6, you're on your way home. Honey, I'm bringing the pizza. No, I don't have to stop at another restaurant. I got what I needed. I'm coming home. I'm bringing hot, fresh pizza in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. in the box to your house.
And where I grew up, probably where you grew up, Casey's is everywhere. I talk to that up here, and everyone goes, what's Casey's? And I go, you've never heard of Casey's? And they're like, no. It's kind of like the Bucky's thing.
Yeah, right?
And I'm like, you got to eat that pizza.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's...
You guys are talking, this is a minute and a half. We're coming out with breakfast skillets. And that's another thing, man. I will go somewhere and someone will say, hey, nice pizza oven. Curdles my skin. Because I can do day parts. But I can cook breakfast, lunch, and dinner in one oven. If you're looking here, I'm doing sandwiches. I'm doing breakfast skillets. Mm-hmm. I'm doing pizza. I can do flatbreads. I mean, look at the amount of people that now are doing flatbreads. They're doing flatbreads because they're finding margin. We're trying hard in this business, guys, with inflation and the price of groceries right now. It just blows my mind. I feel sorry for everybody right now in our industry because we're looking to see what's next and where are we going.
Right.
And I don't think that we're going to find – I don't think we're going to find the true effects of COVID for probably another 5 years to see how that rose out. Everybody asks me, well, what happened? Where's it going now? And I always say, let's take a breath on that one.
Well, yeah, the amount of culinarians that are coming in, right, when they go out, where are they going? They want fine dining for the most part because that's kind of what it's geared toward. A lot of them when they go to, you know, culinary school. And I think they're now doing a better job explaining there's a lot more outlets. I know when I went, it was basically, you know, you want to do fine dining? You want to do like a boat or do you want to do catering? And I got lucky and found contract management, kind of in the same world as like people, it's corporate chefs and things.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, I'm off Fridays and Saturdays and I'm out the door by 3?
Yeah.
Unheard of. And now the folks that are coming in are, you know, it's a different labor pool.
Yeah.
And they need someone to manage that technology. So a chef is almost like becoming like a technician in the fact that, you know, the older generation, it was how do you use a proper pan and how do you control the flame.
Yeah.
Now it's, can you understand technology to help your team and to be like, guys, I just need you to push a button. Do the prep work, do this, so you can take almost anybody, put them in a kitchen and be able to cook.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going.
Absolutely. And it is. And that's another thing to kind of talk about on that sense, because over the last 10 to 15 years, we're also seeing fine dining chefs that are now becoming healthcare chef. They're becoming retirement homes, assisted living. Some of these assisted living houses are fine dining white tablecloth restaurants. And again, like you said, they're looking at the benefits. These guys now were working 7 a.m. to 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, like you said, Monday through Friday. A lot of chefs, man, it's becoming, it's a draw. I mean, it's a pull because that's where it's at. Corporate feeding. You know, it's become such a large part of our lives and lines and cafeterias and these type of equipment that show pieces. So if I'm going down a line and I'm ordering pizzas, I'm coming down in the cafeteria, I see this fresh hot pizza. Oh, speaking of, hey, I think I'm going to need a pizza now. All right. Say. So guys, we're going in now, but that's just the thing. A guy's coming through in contract feeding. Here he comes down the line. By the time he's down to pay for it, we got another pizza coming out of the oven.
Right.
So we want to show you that. We're going to show you that as well. So
Chef Ron, he's gonna build one. We're going to show how fast it goes. Okay. You know, if you don't mind, I'd love to get a piece of that.
Uh-oh.
I love my burnt.
Pizza, you get
as
this
you
crust.
Call it. That's just the way I like it. I mean, that's just, I don't know. Maybe it's a me thing. When I order, it's extra
you like
well
Chicago
done.
Style, Philly style, New York style. What's your crust?
It's a mix. You know, I'm in Chicago, so it's a sin to say you don't
so
like.
So you got the bend test.
Oh yeah.
So you know, if it bends, we're going more Chicago. If we're going more straight, we got a little crispy. I think that's a little more Detroit, right? But we got the burnt cheese on the side.
Yeah.
But we can go with it like that.
You know, so I just like good pizza. You know, I love a good deep dish. Don't get me wrong, being from the Chicago market.
Yeah, but you can only eat one piece. It's 7 pounds.
that is very, very true. So, you know, I like them all. I'm a pizza snob. I love pizza. I'm like the Portnoy, but not on camera all the time. What's your go-to when it comes to pizza?
Man, when it comes to pizza for me, in Kentucky, we only have one that I consider. It's like it's our go-to pizza, but it's nowhere else. I've never seen another one, but in Kentucky. And it's Pisano's. And it is just, it's wood-fired. Okay. I love the black blister a little bit, you know?
Chewy,
like,
but crispy.
Yeah, give me something that's got a little sourdough. Oh, look at that. He's in. Look, let's go.
Look how fast.
Let's see how hard this is. Where we got pizza at? You think we can find pizza? Maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe there. Look. So we got one topping. Let's just go cheese pizza. 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Here we go. We're going to pull that in. As you see, we got a little thicker crust. 2 minutes and 35 seconds. So we're going to play with that. But let's tell a little stories. You told about me and what I've done. So let's tell a little more stories in that field while we're cooking a pizza.
Yeah, I mean, I have to know first, because when I saw that you were on Big Brother, people are like, Chef, Big Brother, that doesn't make any sense. And even you off camera, we were talking about it. And I was like, that's fascinating. So maybe go in a little bit about how you ended up on Big Brother.
I'm crazy.
And how it was.
I'm crazy. I was born crazy. I don't know. Now, I was auditioning to be on the next Food Network star.
Okay.
And at one point, you had to send in 50 original recipes. And I had made it to the top 10. And I thought, hey, the next step is we're going on into this group to go into the house. I got a call from a producer that was Big Brother. Big Brother calls me and says, look, we saw you. We saw your auditions for the next Food Network star. The producers this year want a chef in the house. I'm like, what? They want a chef in the house? And the whole gig behind them, they were like, would you bite the hand that feeds you? Oh, so I'm in the house up early to evening. I'm cooking breakfast. I'm cooking lunch. I'm cooking dinner. So please keep me. Don't get rid of the chef. I'm going to feed you, or you get Chef Boyardee. One of the two.
Yeah.
So that's why I went into the house. And I thought at the time, I was like, I didn't know much about the show, but boy, is that some crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I don't think I'll ever get over it.
How far did you end up finishing or in the show?
Man, well, let me put it this way. The good thing I can talk, because I was on the block 6 times, but I made it to the final four, all right, to the final four, and my alliance turned on me. But, oh, okay, straight up. And I hope Shane is watching this somewhere. I'm going to send this podcast to him. So we had a deal for the final two. So every Thursday on the show, they have what's called a live eviction, or one time a year, they have a live double eviction. So you don't know when you have no time to campaign to stay in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So the double eviction come up. Somebody puts me, I'm looking over at Shane. I'm looking over at the other guy. I'm like, we were good, right? Everything's good. We're good. I'm staying home. I'm sitting in a chair. I'm like, oh, I got this. My alliance is right there. Little did I know that Shane was sneaking up to the big bedroom with another theme, opposite sex. Not me. Throw me under the bus for a girl. But here's the love, the absolute love of Big Brother. The next week, I go to the jury house. The next week, who do I see walking in? Shane. The girl cut his throat. His throat. So it's a high stakes game for $500,000. You're going to fight over things. And they put everybody, man. They put one of every kind of person in that house because they want you to fight and they want you to not get along. 2 minutes, 35 seconds, guys. 1 or 100. They're all going to look identical. Again, if I want to add 10 seconds, if I want to brush it with some oil, we're talking beautiful food all the time.
Yeah. No, that's, see.
Yeah, that, how you like me now?
That's
how you like me now?
That's my style right there, right? It's dark, right? It's crispy. I don't know. I think that's what pizza should be. And again, in 2 minutes and 35 seconds, you don't have time to wait. That's what it is.
There, it's beautiful. And I talked the whole time.
Talked the whole time. So I want to jump into, you know, we did a couple skillets. And I really want to talk about a little, for people to know, kind of on that corporate side, on the recipe development. You hear that all the time. People say, you know, I got recipe development. And you mentioned it earlier, going to a customer, talking to a customer, and reverse engineering basically what they've put. But how does it work when you've got, you know, a new concept or you're trying to help? What is that process? Because you said, you know, you're still in the middle of trying to figure out what a skillet could look like, what it does look like. Maybe what's the thought process? How do you go about it? And how do you then start to execute on some of those ideas? Obviously, you want to be mindful of food waste and everything else so that you can then show that in customer, or, you know, it may be for the masses, right? Like, hey, this is just something we're working on as a whole. So what does that look like?
I always say I get paid to play with food. It's one of the best things for like, because I do. My job, recipe development, is
playing with food.
Playing with food. And technically, I literally was just going in the store. And I, when I get creative enough in my mind and I feel like it, I'll run out of the store. And I start grabbing things and trying to understand flavor profiles that are going to mix. And when you're looking at a flavor profile, you got to look at the concept. Mm-hmm. So what I like may not be what they like. So right. I can't always cook what I like. I can't put, if I like heat, I can't put heat because everybody doesn't like heat right. or hot as I do. So it's all about developing flavors. Okay. But what I always call is developing flavors and layers of flavors. I have one really key rule in all of my cooking that I believe, and Marcus Samuelson actually taught me a lot about this. So in your dish, there should be salt, heat, crunch, and I'm missing one.
It's cash, right?
Oh, yeah, wait, cash. My seasoning blend. Oh, yeah, see?
I got some at home. I knew it was coming. So I got some at home.
So what I say is when you have those flavor profiles right there. So in heat, like I have Aleppo pepper, I have flake salt, I have, oh, citrus. That's what I was looking for. A little bit of citrus. So I have some orange peel in it, some roasted, toasted garlic in it, and a little bit of parsley. And it just, that helps you hit every note instead of every time you do a recipe going, okay, I need something crunchy, I need something. Well, that seasoning blend that I made is, and I call it CASH for that reason. It's an acronym for those. Mm-hmm. But that blend can be used in every recipe that you use because it's exactly what I said. It has that flavor profile in it. And then we build it up so we want layers of flavors so that when I go and show someone and test that recipe out, they're tasting layers, not just one flavor profile.
Yeah.
And that's what we do, man. And that's the fun part.
You know what cash is really good on?
What?
Popcorn.
Pop!
We're big popcorn in our household. And so we just...
One I haven't tried.
Air pop it. Oil,
I haven't
oil,
tried.
Cash on there. Kids love it.
Our favorite so far, believe it or not, this was just absolutely amazing. We went in. So I took, everybody in the world either loves ranch or hates it. Or at some point in their life, they've loved ranch, right? So what I did is I went to make a ranch. My wife calls it cash ranch. But what we did is we went to make a ranch, but I took everything that you would put in ranch dressing out besides the sour cream, the buttermilk, the mayonnaise, you know, the base. So we built the base. Then I added a little bit of half and half to thin it out with 2 tablespoons of cash. And that was it. Right now, I can't keep it in stock. When I say in stock, in any of my refrigerators with my kids, they literally just, it's every day. So in the cash, if you get some, joearvin.com, you can pick it up. But if you get some, look at the recipes. Look at the things that I have to use with it. Get it, play with it. And that'll help you a little bit understand what a corporate chef does. We're developing flavors.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I know we've got a couple more. I want to show a couple other things we've got here. So maybe, Ron, if you want to give us a hand on these last two.
He's going to throw in a biscuits and gravy. He's going to throw in a breakfast skillets. Again, it's all about if I can help a customer create a menu and be able to walk in and even tell them the margins, tell them the food costs that they have in it, tell them what they're going to make. I think that's a key to getting that eye open with another chef to go, okay, you know, I'm not here selling you. I'm here helping you in the hopes that, hey, yeah, you buy something. But it at the end of the day, it's really trying to help.
Well, you. That comes through. The genuine person, like, I want to help you. We are a solution.
Yeah.
Seekers for you, because an operator has so many things that they have to deal with every single day that's not on top of their mind. I'm worried about my call-offs. I'm worried about, am I going to have enough food today? Am I going to be able to get service out? Because I got servers that called in. They're worried about so many things that when it comes to, you know, pieces like equipment or other technologies, they kind of put it on the back burner, even though if they kind of put it on the front, they'd probably make their lives a heck of a lot easier. But they're just so busy that they don't get to that point.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, if you couldn't notice a theme today, you know, with Chef Joe being from the South, you know, we had to do skillets, had to do biscuits and gravy, because I know going up,
throw that in there,
biscuits
right?
and gravy. But with, what we wanted to show with the biscuits and gravy on this is that, you know, you can have the biscuits and the gravy ready to go, and all you gotta do is heat them back up, right? A lot of good gravies, you don't gotta make it fresh scratch. Like, you just gotta heat that gravy up. And again, it was a simple gravy today. You know, and gravies make messes. And that leads to some kitchen disasters. you know, I got to know what
kitchen nightmares.
give me a top kitchen nightmare, kitchen disaster that you've seen.
Let's get this. Let's set the stage here. This is okay. So I call this the football. You know, the come on, man. When you see some stuff like this, it's literally come on, man. What are you thinking? I was in a donut shop, having lunch, sitting there. I was with a sales guy who was selling oil. Of course, a good place to sell oil is a donut shop, right? So when you're coming in, you don't come in during the busy hours. You're coming around 2-3 o'clock, right? So I'm sitting down, I'm talking to this guy, and I'm looking, and out of my peripheral vision, I'm looking at this guy, and he's trying to reach up and get the hood vents, right? He's trying to clean out the hood vent system. So all these things you have to kind of either bring down, you're going to put them in a washer, you're going to do that, right? So I'm watching, and I look over, and I swear, he takes a 2x4.
No.
2x4 and lays it across the oil, the fryer, the long fryer. The guy takes it, lays it.
No.
Steps. Guy's a G, steps up on a 2x4 with the end of a mop. And he's poking it and walking out and taking one out, poking it.
Yeah, that.
He fell right in front of us. He fell. Legs.
In the grease.
Cool. Legs, everything. It was, let's just say this, his jeans, they were stuck to his skin.
Glued to his body.
Needless to say, 911 was on the way. But he had some pretty severe burns. So, guys, in the end, be smart in the kitchen. You're cooking hot. You're cooking things. You're in places. You're in dangerous zones. So take care of yourself. Dude, I don't care. You know, I don't know, but I've been told if you keep on cooking, you're never going to grow old. So stay in the kitchen, but stay safe.
Yeah. Don't stand on a 2x4 in the kitchen.
Never.
I mean, I've had something disaster, maybe not disaster. I had a cook who was working on the grill, and he decided it was time to clean the grill. Okay, that's fine. The grates come off. It's a gas grill. And kind of a process he does every week, except this week he decided to did not put on a sheet pan on the plastic cart. So as he puts said grates on plastic cart, you know, it's only 450, 500 degrees, probably hotter. Yeah. You know, it just starts to melt through the cart onto the second rack. Onto the third, and he had just hardened plastic on those grates. And he says, "Chef, what do? We got dinner service still. This is in the afternoon." I go, "We're going to cool it down. You're going to sit back there and you're going to chisel it off because I don't have any more grates." So he's out back chiseling off plastic.
You can't fix stupid.
You can't. So, but look, I mean, look, it just came out. It was, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes?
Yeah.
Biscuits and gravy, piping hot, delicious. Again, another skillet, that bacon that we already had ready, everything. It's just, it's hot. It's crispy. Hey, Ron, give me a spoon. Give me a fork. I got to, when we make this stuff, I can't. I have to eat. I have to eat.
You got to taste it, man. You got to taste it. You got to love it.
Because I want people to see.
Get a bite and ready to roll.
That this stuff is, thank you.
Yep.
That this stuff is, you know, it's real. This is real cooking. This isn't
show. This isn't TV cooking.
Yeah, this is
not. That's what you're trying to say. I feel you.
Yeah, yeah. You've been around that. But look, I mean, you can't see the steam, but.
I mean, imagine that being brought to your table, man.
Yeah.
You got some stuff going good. Hold on, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the oven is hot. We cook with hot heat. Be careful.
It's just, I mean, the shishitos, super colorful. We had raw peppers. You know, we didn't even cook the peppers, right? And they're cooked to perfection. They're so crispy, but they got good flavor. And again,
have another bite.
On these skillets, I mean, the cheese that we did, you know, with the sausage one. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
I love it.
All right.
So, you know, we've cooked a lot of this stuff. I got to finish chewing up here. And how versatile equipment is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are your thoughts on the state of the industry as it moves forward? I know we talked electric, but is there anything that you're seeing that maybe it's an insight, something that people aren't seeing or kind of on the forefront? Because I always like to get people, because some people say, you know, I don't, trends aren't my thing, and I kind of watch the tail end, but I see you as more of a visionary, more of a front thinker.
Yeah.
You know, where do you see things? What's the next potential big thing? I know this year was home cooking. I think that was a thing, bringing back the home because it's getting so expensive to eat out.
Meal
and I think it's really, I think it's coming to fruition, but what do you think over the next 6 months to a year is really going to be the thing? Could be food, could be equipment.
I think that we're in a state of the industry that the next 6 to 8 months, nothing. And I really mean that. I think we're searching. I think we still have another year to find where we're actually going to be. If you're talking food trends, we looked, you know, last year was the first time that the Spanish-Mexican food hadn't been the number one growth in America. This year, we're looking at Middle Eastern. Middle Eastern is going to just keep coming. Mediterranean, yep. You're going to see a lot more Mediterranean, a lot more Middle Eastern food. America's flavor profiles are all over. Our tongues, man, the flavors we have, it's just mixed up. I almost feel like we don't have our own, but we have every country's. And it's bringing us into, it's making the chef's job so much fun because we get to deal with better and better ingredients.
Yeah, so you said Middle Eastern, Mediterranean. What, you know, give some examples. What would you put in here? You know, for get the brains turning for someone watching, listening.
You got a beef, chicken shawarmas. You can do gyros. You can do flatbreads. You're going to do, you know, and you're just making tzatzikis and sides. Again, it's things that can be made simple and quick and come in and come out.
I mean, I'm just thinking a big old thing of gyro coming in, coming out, couple minutes, super hot.
You're done.
And you're done. Yep. And you don't have to potentially have the spit. You get it still traditional, but you cut it down, load it into your unit. Yep. And it comes out piping hot. That's awesome. I think it's important for people to know. I mean, we mentioned the journey, Kentucky, Chicago, Kentucky, but how you end up at Ovention, because you've done quite a bit through your career. And I've always like, how does somebody juggle, you know, some sort of, you know, corporate chef job, plus they're doing TV shows. You know, what was the evolution to where you are today getting to Ovention?
It's truly the love of my life. I mean, my wife, but then. Now, food is, I can't get out of it. Meaning it's, I go to wake up thinking of food and go in bed thinking of food. I don't know why I'm not 800 pounds. It's like, it's something I absolutely love, but more so than that, I love people. And I think that's where it generated. Coming from the restaurant, I don't have the legs to work the 80 hours anymore. I don't have that, but I'm to the place in my life where I can give back. And I'm going to spend the rest of my career giving back.
That's amazing. Awesome. If you got to, you know, you're in Kentucky now, Kentucky or Chicago? Putting you on the spot.
Well, I'm a homeboy, born and raised in Kentucky. I lived 16 years in Chicago, and my Southern roots, brother, they're going to always come out. And I miss my Kentucky Wildcats. I missed everything. So being back home, man, is just, you know, It's family. It's family. It's mom. It's dad. It's everybody. I'm going to have to call it out. Now, summer's here, downtown Chicago. Let's rock it.
So, okay, one kind of last this question. You know, one restaurant to eat in Chicago or Chicago area? I know, because it's hard. And then one good place down in Kentucky, Lexington, you know, that area.
One of my favorites downtown is Girl and the Goat.
Girl, that's it. That is good.
Because a funny little story real quick about her. When I was on the taste, she was a guest judge, and she cut me. So I was in, she was testing the food, it was going against the final thing. I was in the bottom two, and she cut me. True story. Year later, some customers call me. I'm going into the NRA, a couple of customers call me, and they're like, Joe, can you get me into Girl and the Goat? I'm like, maybe I'm going to have to pull the chef card. So I was like, and these people were important. I needed to get them in. So I kept trying to call her. No, you couldn't get a hold of her. Called the restaurant, got a hold of the maitre d', the maitre d's mess. I left him a message. Said, hey, this is Chef Joe. I was on the taste. You tell her she cut me and I need a table. Never heard back from her. A day later, I get an email from him saying, your table will be ready at 6:15.
Nice.
She hooked us up, and she come out, and she apologized.
Hey, only you're
late.
You
can't win every day, guys. You can't be a winner every day.
And then something down Lexington, you know, that area.
Oh, man. If you're in Lexington, I think one of the best things about that is your farmer's markets. You're going to go out there, and you're going to get organic, you know, the whole trend, farm to table, talk, you know, all that. It's always been in Kentucky. you go out and you're eating what the on the land, what you see. You can buy, you can buy a bias, you can buy a cat in Kentucky. You will see it in the field and you look on your plate. It's there, but you see all the vegetables coming out. And if you're going to come down and you're going to eat, you want to go to the organic farms. You want to check out the things farm to table. But you got to check out, of course, the bourbon. Be careful.
Yeah, you can get yourself in trouble. Chef Joe, where do people go? They want to learn more about you. They want to learn more about Ovention. Where do they go?
It's easy. JoeArbor.com is always say, like Deion Sanders. I'm not hard to find. I'm on every social media. But you can follow me on Ovention. Ovention, I'm going to be traveling, doing food shows on the circuit. I'm helping people out. If they need help, if someone's listening and you're saying, hey, my kitchen needs help, give me a shout. You know, JoeArbor.com. You can check out the recipes. You can check out the cash. I'm everywhere, and I love all of you. So it's never a bother to help someone out.
That's awesome. I want to thank you. I want to thank Chef Ron in the background for helping out, you know, with the prep today, and then Culinary Equipment Group for allowing us to use this space. So, Chef, keep rocking on. Thanks again for coming on. And until next time, we'll catch you on the sunny side.
HospitalityChain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, HospitalityChain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace.